Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, one sec.
We invite you to listen to the Crystal Chanel Show every Sunday on blogtalkradio.com. You can listen in from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. The call-in number is 347-850-8557. That's 347-850-8557. Listen live online at blogtalkradio.com/The Crystal Chanel Show and check out our website at www.crystalchanelministries.com. That's crystalchanelministries.com.
Good evening, everyone. This is Pastor Angie Walson, and the program is Help Other People Endure. Welcome, welcome, welcome. The time is just about 1 minute after 7, and we are here on the Crystal Chanel Network. And we just want to say thank you to Crystal. Thank you to everyone who is listening in. We are so happy to be here. Crystal is the bomb, and she has provided us with this platform, and we are just excited. It's going to be a good night. Guys, I'm so thankful for all of the call-ins from the last 2 weeks. We are really moving forward. And so, without further ado, I just want to let you know how you can call in tonight. You definitely can dial in at 347-850-557, and you can listen live to us tonight on blogtalkradio.com/Crystal Chanel Show. So welcome again, everyone. You also can find us on Facebook at Help Other People Endure, and then on our Twitter page at the number 2GETHERHOPE. That's at Together Hope. And we also are on Periscope. So let's just dive right in. Last night was really last week, was really a good topic. Hope tonight becomes home, everybody. So we are helping other marriages endure by building a home. And these are principles that many of us may already know, but it's something that we need to revisit daily, to renew our marriages daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, because it's so easy to become stale. It's so easy to become complacent. It's so easy to just get in a rut and take each other for granted. And so that's leading us to what we are going to be talking about tonight. Help Other Marriages Endure. The title tonight is A Servant's Heart in Marriage. So take notes, call me, let's talk about it. It's really something that we need to get a handle on. I don't think we will ever arrive in our marriage. I think each day becomes a week, becomes a month, becomes a year, and we're learning consistently. We should be anyway. And so what we did in our 20s, of course, we're not going to do in our 30s because we learned something. And what we've done in the first 10 years of our marriage will help us get to those next 20 years, or they could destroy so that there's no years to come. And this is what we don't want that to happen. We have got to take a stand and be proactive in our marriages. And this is not just for married people tonight. It really is for anyone who desires to be married. Any married, anyone who is dating, it's a time where we really have to know who we are first, and then be able to share who we are fully whole with another person, right? Come on now. I'm looking for your call tonight, 347-850-8557. So let's talk about this servant's heart. What do we mean, you know, about by having a servant's heart? It's a term that Christians throw around a lot. You know, you got to have a servant's heart in ministry. You got to, you know, serve others. You got to put others before yourself. And that's a good thing. So really what we're talking about is, let me first tell you what we're not talking about. When I say a servant's heart in marriage, I'm not talking about men having a Stepford wife. Good-looking wife, you know, she's hot. She's big hair and nails. But she's got a good mind, but she's basically going to do whatever you say, whenever you say, and she's just going to say, you know, yes, baby, I love you, and that's it. That's kind of a slave. That's a robot. You know, that's not really what you want either, because that person's really not helping you freely. They're not even, you know, they don't have a mind to do anything because they're waiting to be told. That's a separate wife syndrome. And then we don't want a man who is henpecked and can't think on his own. We don't want a man to just, you know, wait on us hand and foot and never have an idea of his own, who is too afraid to have ambition because he needs his wife to tell him, come on, that's not godly. That's not even attractive. I know if you're honest, that's not something that's attractive to us ladies, where we have to have a man that he can't stand on his own two feet. That's not how God made him. That goes against his very nature. But a servant's heart is, male or female, someone who is giving, someone who thinks of the other person, their needs, their desires, their wants, their goals, someone who doesn't say me first, someone who's kind, who seeks to be kind to you because you are pleasing to them. They have chosen you as a spouse. So this person is giving, and this person is kind. They think about helping you with your goals, and not only their goals, but they keep in mind that I have a spouse, a partner, who has a mission in life. Also, a servant's heart is someone who is charitable to other people. Think about this, ladies, and I don't know about you, but it bothers me if I go out to dinner, my husband, now he doesn't do this, but let's just say there's a man, you're out to dinner, right? And you sit down at the table, and the waiter was good, the server came and served you well, they got everything you asked for, and then when it's time to leave, the man picks up the check, but then he says, oh, I'm not leaving a tip. Come on, that's such a turnoff. That's not charitable to others. That's just kind of, you know, stingy and just, it's just low. It's pretty low to have someone serve you and serve you well, and then you don't think enough of them. First of all, they don't make that much money anyway, servers. And then you don't think that much of them to leave them a tip for the good service that they've given you and by saying thank you in that tip. Come on, that's not how God wants it to be. That's unattractive. Ladies don't like that. And I think men wouldn't like that either. You know, you're out Dutching, you're just trying to get over on people. That's not appropriate. We're talking about people who are giving, who are kind, they have a charitable heart, they care about others. That's a servant's heart. And Jesus was a servant. So we're going to move on because you want to go a little bit further. I know I was reading an article recently about Tim Tebow, and he was saying that he wanted a wife with a servant's heart. And the media went crazy, you know. They were like, man, he wants somebody to wait on him hand and foot. That's not what he was talking about. If you read the article further, he says, I want a partner. You know, I want a nice person, somebody who thinks of others, someone who has a kind heart. That's one of the most attractive things that a male or a female can offer to another person that they're willing to become engaged with. Having a kind heart, to know that your partner cares for you and cares for others, to know that your partner cares enough for your family, that's a servant's heart. I know I heard somebody say amen. So this is the thing. Let's look at a scripture. Scripture says in Philippians 2, let's go to Philippians 2, because it's really easy. Like I said, Christians, we talk about having a servant's heart. Well, we're trying to be like Christ. Remember, our example as Christians, and remember I told you that help other people endure and help other marriages endure. It is a faith-based program. We are Christians. I am a Christian. I'm a pastor. And this is what we base our program off. But we talk about any and everything that God puts out there because we live in the world and we have sisters and brothers who need to know. And so in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, it talks about this. It says that, let me read the first verse, just verses 1 through 5 for you. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you have any comfort for his from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if you have anything in common and sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded and having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Now, remember, tonight we're talking about a servant's heart in marriage. Now, this says it all because, of course, as Christians dealing with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we want to get along. We seek to understand each other in our ministries, on our jobs. Even if we're working with people who are not of the same faith, we still seek to be a peaceful people. That's what we should be doing. And I know I hear some people saying, no, not all Christians. They come on the job, they're preachy, they're boastful, they're arrogant, they're condemning, and they're judgmental. But remember, this right here, this scripture says that if you call yourself one with the Lord, if you call yourself having comfort from his love, how he's changed your life with his love, and you have the spirit of compassion in you now because you're a Christian, then we, in order to make, to satisfy God, in order to please God, there's another step. We should seek to be like-minded and having that same love and being one in the spirit and one in mind with our husbands and with our wives. Come on, say amen right there. Because we can't come in the house. Sometimes you hear people say, you treat everybody right but your spouse. That should not be. We can't treat people on our jobs with godly love and compassion and then come into our own home and wreak havoc, raise hell, accuse your spouse of everything. You know, there's no peace in the home. There's no like-mindedness. You disagree about everything. How can that be so if you're both of the same faith? How can that be so if you're both saying we love the Lord and he's changed our lives and he lives on the inside of us? The scripture says to be like-minded. It says to be of one mind, to be one in spirit. That's why we have so much turmoil in our marriages, because we're not one in spirit. Each person is going their own way. We're going to tackle that just a little bit more, but we're going to take a quick commercial break. I love you. Get ready to call in. I know you have something to say, and I'll see you in a few minutes.
Are you in the market for a complimentary facial treatment, lip treatment, or hand treatment? Then Crystal Chanel can help. If you would like to host a Mary Kay party, or you would just like to purchase something for yourself or someone else, maybe a friend or relative, please visit www.marykay.com/crystaljenkins or call 770-715-7949. That's 770-715-7949 to book your appointment or to place your order today. If your New Year's resolution was to get back in shape this year, well, Lifetime Fitness in Johns Creek can help. So be sure to get your results and call Adam at 678-722-5912 if you would like a free pass to the gym or would like to get information on how to join this awesome gym. And tell them the Crystal Chanel Show sent you. 11555 Johns Creek Parkway in Johns Creek, Georgia, 30097. GPS it and get your information today.
All right, and we are back tonight. This is Help Other People Endure. I'm your host, Pastor Angie Walton. Come on, call in, guys. I want to talk with you. The number to call is 347-850-8557. And remember, you can listen live on blogtalkradio.com/The Crystal Chanel Show. And welcome back. So we are talking tonight. Hope has become a home tonight, where we are helping other marriages endure. You know, God is good, and we were just talking about how we need to be like-minded and to be of one spirit. So when you call in, you can press 1 if you have questions and comments, so I'll see you, and we'll get to your questions. But remember, we shouldn't just seek to please our bosses on our job and seek to please our homeboys and our girls and just to be at peace with them, because, you know, we go out of the way for our friends, you know, to keep them happy, to please them. But then we come in the house and we tell our spouses, you know, I'm tired, I ain't got time for you tonight. You know, I'm going to go sit here and I'm going to watch football. Or we tell our husbands, I'm not cooking tonight. You know how to cook. Come on, that shouldn't be, right? That shouldn't be. We're talking about a servant's heart, someone who wants to just be giving, to just be kind. Just because I know my husband had a hard day, I try to have a meal ready for him when he comes home. If I don't have a meal, I know what he's going to eat. He knows what he's going to eat when he walks through that door. Just because he's my husband and I want to give him something to eat that's good and hot and that's going to nourish his body. And then when my husband comes in, or guys, when you walk in the door and you see that your wife has been with the kids all day, I know you're tired. I know you had a long day. But let me tell you something. If you walk in that door and you say, babe, I'm going to take the kids for an hour. You want to go take a hot bath or you want to go have some downtime? They go sit with me. They go tell me about their day. We're going to watch a TV show together as I relax. Make them go in the refrigerator, get you something to drink, make you a snack while your wife takes a minute. I promise you, when she sees that heart, that serving your wife, that it's going to lift her spirit. It's going to give her a little pep in her step. It's going to give her a little energy. Remember, a servant's heart is someone who seeks to be kind to others. What did Jesus do while he was here? He was going around serving other people because he loved them, because he cared for them, and he cared about their needs and their wants. Look at Philippians chapter 2 again. We finished, we read verses 1 through 4, and it talked about being one in spirit and like-minded and of one mind. And then it said, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. See, we have a problem because in marriages and in life, you hear it all the time. It's my way. You know, it's got to be my way. I want things my way. I want things when I want them. You know, this is how I am. Come on, that sounds a little selfish to me. That doesn't sound like someone who's thinking of others. And I told you that God gave us this mandate of helping other people. This is what he's done. This is what he did when he sent Jesus. This is what Jesus did when he walked this earth. He was helping other people, providing for their needs, and educating them, loving on them. That's a servant's heart. Jesus didn't take any thought about where he was going to sleep. He didn't even take thought about where he was going to eat. He was too busy serving others. Look at verse 5 in Philippians chapter 2. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ. You know, it was cute a few years ago when people started wearing those bracelets, what would Jesus do? But that turned into a fad, y'all. You know, that was just something cute for people to wear, you know, because really, what would Jesus do in the marriage? What would he do? He would put the spouse before himself, male or female. And I know, ladies, you're tired. I know, guys, you're tired when you come home. I know you're home with the kids all day. I know you're out looking for work because you don't have a job. But let me tell you, when we get together on one accord and we have each other's back and we seek to make his day a little easier and her day a little brighter, a little lighter, then we have a servant's heart, and that makes the marriage work better. You know, I think about when they talk about when the movie Fireproof came out and the man was wanting to leave his wife because she basically had checked out, you know. But think about the reasons that they were checking out. She was checking out because there was somebody on her job who was catching or getting her attention and giving her attention because her husband was a busy fireman But also, he was busy, you know, on the porn site. He stayed in his computer. Folks, we need to put down our digital devices sometimes. We need to bring back the art of conversation. We need to take a minute and sit one evening and talk to our spouses. It's so funny because we can sit on the phone before we get married for hours. Some of the teenagers sit on the phone all night long. But then when we get married, let a little time pass, maybe 5, 10 years, we sit at the table and don't have two words to say to each other. Your wife, your husband should be your friend. They should be your friend. They should be your best friend. Yeah, you might have a guy, you might have a male friend that's your, you know, he's your number one. He's the one that he hangs with you. He knows you. He's your bud. He's who you go to. But then your wife should still be your best friend. You shouldn't be keeping secrets from her. Ladies, your husband should be your best friend. Yeah, we might have our homegirls who we can sit and talk to and ask questions about and have those deep conversations, but my husband is going to know me just as well as my girlfriend. That really is where we should be striving and pushing for. It says one mind. The scripture said be like-minded. So then verse 6, it says this. Verse 5 said, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ, right? So in our relationships with each other, I should be thinking, how would Christ be interacting with my spouse right now? See, I said that the last time I was on, about 2 weeks ago. I said, somebody's got to make the first move, right? Someone has got to make the first move. I know that it's been hell in your house, that y'all have been fussing and fighting. I know that it doesn't seem like he understands your point of view. I know it doesn't seem like she understands what you're trying to do for the family, the way that you're trying to make it. But somebody's got to extend the olive branch and not always declare war. Someone's got to lay down their weapons and say, babe, this is not where I want us to be. This is where I really want us to be. I'm trying to understand you, and I'm going to keep on trying until we get it because we're in it for the long haul. Come on, say amen, somebody. I know that's where we're afraid to go. See, that's being like-minded. That's someone saying, I want you and me to be on the same page. I want to understand what you need, and then I want to try to give it to you. And then that person says the same thing back. I want to understand what you need, and I want to try to give it to you. Being kind. Verse 6 of Philippians 2 says, having the same mindset as Christ, who, now they're talking about Christ here, listen to this, who, Christ, he was the very nature, being in very nature God, he was God. But he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. See, we can be in our marriage. All right, men, so I'm going to talk to you for a minute. We can be in our marriage, right? And God is giving you authority, all right? Jesus was the very nature of God. And the scripture said in verse 6 that he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Okay, men, God has clearly given you authority for the household. God has clearly given you authority for the household. But some of the men, we get the wrong idea. And I'm saying we, guys, because I'm not trying to be condemning, okay? I know I'm a female, so don't get it twisted. But what happens is this. You take that authority and you use it to your advantage. You tell the wife, you know you're supposed to submit. You're supposed to do what I say. You take that authority that God has given you and use it to your own advantage, and that's not how he intended. Oh, I know that just made somebody mad right now, but we're going to take a break so you can cool off while we hear a word from our sponsors.
I worship you, lift up your name, going through my pain, you never changed, brought me through,
What's up, fam? We are back. Welcome, and I just want to say thank you to our artist, Calandra Gant, for her song, I Worship. And you are on with Angie Walston and Help Other People Endure. And tonight, we are continuing with Hope Becoming Home, where we are helping other marriages endure. So we are talking about a servant heart in marriage, and the lines are still open. You can call us at 347-850-8557, and you can press number 1 for your questions and comments, all right? And you also can find us on Facebook at Help Other People Endure, and on Twitter at Together Hope. Leave me a message. Let me know you listened in and you like the show. And you can even give me some suggestions for some topics, because we are going to be talking about it all. But you know what? This servant heart thing is something that has got to be retaught and learned. It's something that doesn't necessarily come naturally to us all. I understand that. When you think about your children, their first words when they first start out, when they can start talking, somewhere between 1 and 2, my. They start saying my and mine and no. And, you know, it's something that we have to teach them. We have to teach our children to share their toys with other children, and we have to teach them how to give and to say yes sometimes. And so I understand this is a learning process for us all. So we are in Philippians chapter 2, and we're talking about a servant's heart in marriage and how the scripture says in verse 6 that Jesus was the very nature of God. And he said that he didn't consider equality with God, because he was the very nature of God, something to be used to his own advantage. And I know, guys, I hope you're not mad. I hope you had a minute to take a breather and say, woosah. I know she's just trying to teach us all something, and I'm still learning myself. But remember the authority, because I compared the two, right? The authority that Christ, that God has given you as men, you should not use that to your own advantage against your wife, against your kids. That can be, well, that's straight up, that's selfishness. It's just selfishness, you know, it's to your own advantage. Rather, the scripture says that Jesus, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Oh, there it is right there. I knew somebody's getting mad again. Come on, breathe. Because we're talking about just being a giver. We're talking about just being kind. We're talking about being charitable to others. And I know people say, well, you know, what are they going to do for me? That's the question. What did Janet Jackson say? What have you done for me lately? But we're talking from a spiritual standpoint. We're not talking from the world's perspective. We're saying we want to be givers. We want to be kind in our marriages. We want to serve one another. We want to outdo each other in our giving. So in the movie Fireproof, I was saying that the gentleman, you know, both of them kind of had checked out. They were mad at each other. The wife was getting attention on her job. The husband was into porn on the computer. And so both of them had checked out, and the husband, he goes and talks to his dad, and he says, you know, I'm done. I'm just ready. I'm going to file for divorce. And the father told him, he said, before you do this, I want you to do one thing for me. He gave him this book. He said, I want you to take, well, I think it was 40 days. Maybe it was 30 days. I might be off on the days. But he said, take, let's say 30 days, okay, because it was a long time. Take 30 days. And you go and you do one thing to serve your wife. Even if she's mean, nasty, even if she doesn't acknowledge it, and I'm speaking to my ladies now too, even if he's nasty, even if he's mean, in the movie he said, do one thing to serve her, to show her that you know she's there, that you know he's there. Because we can get up in the morning, get dressed, go about our day, and leave our house without even saying hello to our spouse, without even saying good morning. But guess what? We'll get to work and we'll say, good morning, so-and-so. Good morning. Put on that voice and look all clean and let the house ragged. Let the house without leaving love in the air. Let the house without giving a kiss or a hug. So he says, do this for 30 days. Serve your wife. And he said, Dad, I don't know if I can do that because it's really bad. I mean, it's bad. We're not talking. It's ugly. He said, just promise me before you make the decision to leave your marriage, give it everything you got. You owe that to God because it's a promise that we made God for better or for worse. And then it's a promise you made your spouse. How many of you can take that challenge? How many of you can say, I want to become a servant in my marriage? I'm going to try this challenge. I'm going to, for 30 days, I'm going to try to do one thing to serve my spouse. If I know that my spouse, he likes French vanilla coffee, every day when he comes home, or just maybe for this day, I'm going to go ahead and make sure he has some French vanilla coffee when he comes in his house. He can smell it in the air. When he walks in the door, babe, I got your coffee in here, and be done. He may not say thank you. He may not even come in the kitchen to look. He may not even drink it. But you did what you were supposed to do because you knew that's something he likes. He may just have a bad attitude. But you're still trying to serve him. You're saying, I know this is something that you like. I see you. It's a value to me to give you something because I love you, because I want you to have something that you love, that you like to drink, that you like to taste. I want you to have something that pleases you, and I'm going to do my best to help you get it. See, that's what being a servant is. A servant is, this is my position. So I'm going to serve regardless of if I get anything back because I know this will please you. Oh, yeah, that's a humbling position. That's a humbling position to move from. And the problem in our marriages is that there is so much pride, no one wants to humble themselves. Come on, somebody. Being a servant comes from a humble position. I can't be prideful and be a servant at the same time. You just really can't. You might take pride in serving. You can do that. But I can't be too prideful to serve. Come on, somebody. Look at verse 7. It says, Jesus made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. And then being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even to die on the cross for you and I. Jesus was God, y'all. He was a king. He has a kingdom. Browns, streets paved with gold. But he looked down and he saw your poor little self and my sick little self, and he said, that's my sister. That's my brother. Let me humble myself. Let me make myself nothing. Put on the servant flesh and walk around in it to serve my people, to tell them about my Father, to go and heal them, to go talk to those who are lepers, the outcasts, to go talk to the women that nobody wants to talk to go talk to the husband that's trying to make a life for his family. It's so hard because he keeps hearing no. To go and be the lifter of the head, let me serve my people. And I'm saying to you tonight that if Jesus, who is kingly, God Almighty, Majesty, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if he doesn't think it robbery of his title and his position to come down and humble himself and make himself nothing to serve you and I, and how come we can't do it? Are we above God? Are we perfect? Do we have a heaven or a hell to put people in? You can't come into the house and serve your spouse who you chose to love, who you chose to be married to, who you asked to marry you, and who you said yes to. We need to take a servant's position. We need to move from a humble place and serve one another. Let's look at one other scripture real quick. look at John chapter, John, let's see, John 13, verses 2 through 7, John 13, verses 2 through 7. In this particular scripture, this is another example of Jesus being a servant. Guys, this whole chapter, this first few verses, rather, is talking about how Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. Now, remember, I just pretty much told you who he was, where he came from. His background is royalty. He's a king. He's Lord of lords. He's the Most High. And he came to earth, and he put on flesh like we did, and he taught flesh. He taught a fragile people. He taught people who did not know, you know, their spiritual place. They were living by the law. And he came down and he made them his homeboys. He picked out 12. And in this verse right here, verse 2, look what it says. It was the Passover festival, guys, and the evening meal was in progress. And the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. Jesus knew, guys, when I say guys, I'm talking to my men and my women, Jesus knew he had all power. He knew he had authority. He said that he knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God. And he knew he was returning to God. Jesus knew who he was. And then he said, he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Let me tell you something. Jesus didn't have an identity crisis. Jesus didn't have self-esteem issues. Because when we have self-esteem issues, there's no way we're going to humble ourselves and serve one another. We're too busy being puffed up. We're too busy trying to show that we are somebody. The scripture just said that Jesus knew that he was given all power from the Father. He also knew that he had come from God, and he also knew he was returning to God. So he didn't have to go around saying, I'm king. He didn't have to go around trying to put his way above other people. He humbled himself. And he got down as the teacher, as their master. He put on a servant's garment. He took off his outer clothes. And, you know, in that time, the servants and the slaves, they had those loincloths. Jesus wrapped himself right around his area, got on his hands and knees, and he washed the dirty, dusty, sandy feet of his disciples. That was one of the loneliest of acts that could be done, and much less being done by a teacher, a rabbi, a pastor, their master. That was one of the loneliest things that could be done, and he got down on his knees and positioned himself in a humble position and washed the feet of his disciples. Even though and women, he knew he had been given authority. He knew he had come from God, given authority, and he knew he was returning to that. But he still humbled himself and washed the feet of the ones that he was teaching. Come on, somebody. That's powerful right there. How come we can't come in the house and serve our husbands? How come we can't come in the house and serve our wives? We have authority, we have power, so we can do just like Jesus. The question is, what would Jesus do? The answer is, humble yourself. Wash your wife's feet. Wash your husband's feet. Authority comes from God. It was given to you. You did nothing to earn it. I'm talking to men and women. Humble ourselves. Serve each other in our marriage. Remember, we're talking about being givers to each other. Trying to outgive each other, trying to outdo each other with kindness. Babe, let me dry your bath tonight. No, God, you go ahead and then and go ahead and get ready. I'll dry your bath. Being charitable to others, teaching your families how to be givers, teaching your children how to be givers. Come on, our marriages would see so much progress in the right direction if we all took on a server's heart. We're going to take our last break for the night, and we'll come back and we'll close out. I hope you're learning something tonight. I hope you're being blessed. But right now, we're going to hear from our sponsors.
Are you in the market for a complimentary facial treatment, lip treatment, or hand treatment? Then Crystal Chanel can help. If you would like to host a Mary Kay party, or you would just like to purchase something for yourself or someone else, maybe a friend or relative, please visit www.marykay.com/crystaljenkins or call 770-715-7949. That's 770-715-7949 to book your appointment or to place your order today. If your New Year's resolution was to get back in shape this year, well, Lifetime Fitness in Johns Creek can help. So be sure to get your results and call Adam at 678-722-5912 if you would like a free pass to the gym or would like to get information on how to join this awesome gym. And tell them the Crystal Chanel Show sent you. 11555 Johns Creek Parkway in Johns Creek, Georgia, 30097. GPS it and get your information today.
All right, everybody, we are back. We are coming to the close of our program in just a few more minutes. And I just want to tell you, we do have a couple of announcements that I think you will be interested in. We have free events. So everybody's interested in free, right? Can we say free? We have a Meet the Authors for the Children on this Saturday, June 11th, from 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at Cat's Cafe. Guys, the address is 970 Piedmont Avenue Northeast in Atlanta, Georgia, 30309. And this event is for children as well as for adults. Please share this event. Tell your friends. Bring a friend with you. You can come with your children, or you don't have to come with your children. We also can be found at Meet the Authors for the Children, 2016.eventbrite.com. So please come out June 11th from 5:30 to 7:30 for this event. Meet the Authors for Children. Remember also, we just want to say thank you again to the Crystal Chanel Show for providing this platform. Keep tuned to blogtalkradio.com/The Crystal Chanel Show. There's going to be so much going on with this network. God has truly been a blessing to this network with our sponsors. We like to say thank you to all of our sponsors. And then also, remember that you can find Help Other People Endure on Facebook and on Twitter at Together Hope. That's the number 2GETHERHOPE. And then you can find us on Periscope at Together Hope also. And also remember, we have another event coming up that I will be hosting. It is called HIV, The Real World. It's going to be Saturday, June 25th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. And, guys, I got to tell you, this is a subject that's dear to my heart. You'll get to hear some more in detail about this topic. I believe I might talk about this in another 2 weeks. But it's going to be at Cat's Cafe also. HIV, The Real World, presented by Crystal Chanel. We have a bunch of special guests. It'll be keynote speaker will be R.Y. Burgess. He's the author of Married But It Can Happen, HIV activist and motivational speaker. Deron Jones, the founder of I Know Awareness, will be there. She's an HIV activist and educator. You'll also have myself hosting that night. So we are looking forward to having you there, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. And remember, guys, it is free. I want to tell you, I got to make sure I say it's free. So what I need you to do is think about this thing, this servant's heart. There's so many tools to help you develop a servant's heart. Remember, this is something that really needs to be learned or retaught. You know, I told you earlier, our children, they come out and we say, my, mine. That's how our children start. it's not necessarily our nature to be givers. It really isn't. We have the me, myself, and I syndrome. And so in our marriages, we've asked people to marry us. We've accepted, those proposals. And so now we've got to work daily. We've got to work weekly. We've got to work monthly. And we need to continue year by year. And one of the tools that I am proposing to you tonight is to develop a servant heart in your marriage, to give to each other on purpose, to try to outgive each other. And I'm not talking just about material things, not just, going out and buying things for your spouse, but to be creative in your giving. Give of your time. Give them some time. Make it a daily thing where, a weekly thing where they can come home or she can have some time to herself, some me time. Everybody needs some me time. Tell your kids, it's me time for me and mommy. It's me time for you. Go in your rooms. You get 1 hour to have free time. And then enjoy each other. Give to your spouse. Outdo each other in giving. And then be intentional in your kindness. It's very easy to go out into the world and to be kind to other people. Yeah, I know there's a whole lot of hellraisers out there, but there are a lot of people that you go out of your way to be kind to your boss, to a coworker who smiles at you, and then you come home and your smile has turned into a frown. Come through the house with joy. Come through the house. If you gotta fake it till you make it, go ahead and say, today I'm choosing to be happy. And that's not necessarily a fake. I don't even like to really say fake it till you make it, but be intentional until it becomes a habit. Just like in the movie Fireproof, he didn't want to do those things in the beginning, and he did those grudgingly. He'd fix her some coffee. She walked by and didn't take the coffee. And he got an attitude and threw it in the sink. And he tried the next thing. I forget what the second thing was he tried. But he tried several times, and she didn't respond favorably. But as he continued, and he started to see his wife for the person she was, his attitude started to change. His demeanor started to change. And this is what a servant does. Let me just break this down a little bit. What a servant does is he looks at his master, and he listens to the request and the needs of his master. And then he studies his master. If he knows his master comes in and takes his shoes off and is looking for his slippers, that servant has those slippers right there. Study your spouse. Men and women, study your spouse. And then surprise them. Because in Fireproof, as he continued doing those things to try to serve his spouse, his heart changed. His heart softened because he started seeing his wife coming in tired. He realized her job was heavy. It really wasn't her job. She was worried about her parents. And when he was able to study her and to decipher that it wasn't her job, what did he do? He went to where her were in a nursing home and they needed some type of machinery to make it easier for them, and he served his wife by purchasing that machine without even telling her that he did it, because his heart had changed because he studied his wife. That's called a servant's heart. He studied her. He sought to give her what she needed to make it a little easier in her day. I challenge you this day, men and women of God, I challenge you to seek to serve your spouse. I challenge you to study your spouse. I challenge you to outgive your spouse in your marriage, whether it's a love note, whether you bring her home her favorite piece of candy, whether you make him a handmade dessert, come on, somebody, whether you put a little money aside every month, and surprise your spouse with, I got $1,000 toward a vacation, babe. Where do you want to go? He can add to it. She can add to it. Seek to to outgive each other in your marriages. Seek to be kind to one another. Seek to be charitable to others. That's a very attractive trait. When people see that you care about other people, it's very attractive. People want to be around you because you are kind to others. You help lift others' spirits. That's a good thing. I challenge you in your marriage to study your spouse, to outgive them, to be kind to them, even when they don't reciprocate, even when they're grumpy. Develop that servant heart. Develop a servant heart, just like Jesus did. Remember, Jesus didn't think that because he was of God and from God and was God, that it was for him to use that to his advantage. Don't use your position against one another. Ladies, don't use your weakness, your advantage in your marriage to try to get your house to your husband to serve you. That's not what it means. Don't play weak and feeble to try to get your husband to do what you want. That's witchcraft. That's trying to put a spell on somebody. Husbands, don't take your authority and try to take advantage in the household. Everybody's got to serve me because I'm the king. God made me the man. I'm the head. Don't take advantage of your family because then they can feel trapped. They can feel in bondage. Scripture says to serve each other, to submit one to another. It's hard to do, I know, but we're not trying to raise separate wives here. We're not trying to raise robots here. We're not trying to have henpecked cousins. We're trying to be a team that loves each other, that wants to be kind to each other, and that wants to show love. It's the Crystal Chanel Show. You're talking with Pastor Angie Ralston at Help Other People Endure. I'm so glad you joined in. You can always call in at 347-850-8557. And you can always find us on, I believe our next time we'll be on is June 16th, blogtalkradio.com/ The Crystal Chanel Show. And so we are getting ready to close out in prayer. I know that there are marriages that are struggling. Know that there are people who are ready to give up. I know that there are people who said, it's over, I'm done, I don't even want it anymore. I know that there are people who are so tired and hurting and broken. But there's a way out. I tell you tonight that God sent me to give you another tool to tell you that our heart needs some heart surgery. We need some heart surgery. God is our doctor. Come on, somebody. I can feel the spirit right now. And he says, I will take out the stony heart, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will help you have a servant heart. I'll put my spirit inside of you so that you can serve your spouse, so that you can love that which you deem unlovable because of me. Somebody say, but God is more than able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask. And I know if you just take one moment with me tonight and say, God, I'm not giving up. I feel like I want to, but I heard Angie say, God, that you would take out this stony heart. God, take me back to when I first met her. God, help me to feel that love that I had in my heart, God. Help me to study my wife. God, I'm praying for right now. Give me a heart of flesh, God, so that I can bless my wife and serve her. Help me to be a giver. Help me to study, God, where she needs me and where she is lacking, God. God, through me, give to my wife, Lord God. I want to be the hands that bless her. I want to be the arms that she runs to. I want to speak the words into her ear and draw her tears, my God. Father God, for the ladies, we want to be a comfort, a soft pillow for the heads of our husbands. Where he feels okay to let his guard down. Where he doesn't have to have his shield up like he does when he's in the world. When he's out there, he's facing the world, God. He's not alone because I'm home or I'm on my job and I'm lifting up the name of my husband to you, God. And I'm girding him up, God. I'm praying a hedge of protection around him. I'm praying that his mind is renewed, Lord God. I'm praying, God, that he is strong in his faith and that he does not yield to temptation, God. Take out my stony heart. Replace it with a heart of flesh, Father God. Hallelujah, somebody. God promises to do that which we ask according to his will and for his glory. We're here to help other people endure tonight. God, have your way. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we yield our marriages to you, God. Take them back, Lord God. No more divorce, no more separation, no more selfishness, no more anger, no more hurt, and no more pain. Help us to outgive each other in the name of Jesus. We bless you tonight, people of God. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Available, oh, in this atmosphere. and we want you. Want to get lost in you. We want to be where you are, oh God.